It's just fabulous to see him alive and up and picking her up.
Gemma's running that team. Gemma's running you.
The thing about the club is you don't choose your club. It's like family.
You want to get back out on the field. It's just that it's in your blood, I suppose. And just want to get out there now and get the games going again.
Brian Murray, let me shake hands with you. You come in here hobbling. How are you feeling now?
Oh, I'm all right. I'll tell you nothing but a couple of pints won't do, I'll tell you, you know.
He gets a bit behind it. He launches it in. It's over the bar. The wee man from Chichar.
Hello, one and all, and welcome to the Donegal GAA podcast with Ocean FM. Paddy McGill here. It's our final rematch show before Sunday's All-Ireland final. Donegal taking on Kerry, throwing at Croke Park at 3:30. And a bit of a weather update here. It's looking now like there's no rain. The weather is changing every single day. Met Aaron are actually going to block me from their app because it's going to shut down the amount of times that I've checked the weather here. But we have a weatherman actually on the show here as well. I'll release the name now in a few minutes. So it's our fifth show this week. And if you've missed any of the other four, you will find them on the usual platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or online at Ocean FM. You'll also see them on Twitter, Facebook, stuff like that. Log on to Ocean FM. You'll find them there. And they're all different types of shows, I suppose, as well. And we've had a huge reaction this week. Brilliant reaction all year, but I suppose in particular in the last couple of weeks with Donegal at the business end. So I just want to thank all our listeners and thanks a million for all the lovely feedback and messages, good and bad. And I really do appreciate that. It is coming to an end very soon. And I suppose if you're driving to Dublin, I know a lot of people are leaving this final podcast for their commute. If you're coming up and you want to find just a particular show, the Monday show is from the Donegal GAA Centre. It's from the press night. You'll hear from the likes of Jim McGuinness, Pattern Morgan, Ryan McHugh, Mary Coughlin, Frank Craig, Jason Byrne. Tuesdays is Deep Analysis with Morris Brosnan and Cara O'Kane. We're in Mount Charles on Wednesday. It was a gathering of club members to just kind of celebrate, I suppose, having three county players. And then we heard from Anthony Malloy on the Thursday show, of course, captain of Donegal 1992. I met him in the stand in Pierce Memorial Park. So just something different. And I'm labelling this one the Final Thoughts podcast. And as I said, there's so many people going to be listening to this on their commute from, if they're coming from North Donegal, they'll be going up through Oma, Monaghan, South Donegal, go by Enniskillen, Cavan, and so many people are coming from abroad as well. They know they're downloading the show and they'll be listening to it on the plane home. And it's just brilliant to see. And I mentioned the weather forecast, man. I am absolutely delighted to be joined by Oni McGarvey of Niamhara. How are you, Oni?
Not so bad, Paddy. How are you? You've had a busy week.
It's been great, though. It's been great.
It's a good
complaint. You were on with me. The reason why I have you on, you were on with me. Alan was as well. You're a great friend of the podcast. And geez, we had to do some dark podcasts a couple of years ago as well. So it's good to be talking in a positive light, isn't it?
That's for sure. It's great. It's been a great week. It's probably been a great 2 weeks in that. And as you say, unfortunately, well, unless it goes to a replay and that'll be over on Sunday. But I think everybody's really looking forward to it when I'm working in through the houses and that. Just that's what everybody's talking about and that. And just really looking forward to Sunday. I think everybody is.
Alan Foley of the Donegal Democrat. I mentioned friends of the podcast. Alan, you're definitely the best friend of the podcast. You're like the best man here at the wedding. Alan, how are you? Oni said to me, I'm busy. I would say not remotely close to you.
I think we put out 312 pages in 3 days, no joke. So quieting down now for a little bit, but that was between Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So the sports lads put their feet up today and well deserved as well. So I'm sure there will be plenty to come in the coming days, I suppose.
Fair play, Alan. Oni, you're with Niamhara again this year. Congratulations, by the way. Promotion, fantastic achievement. You were saying off air the first time in how many years?
First time in 25 years, Paddy. Yeah, we got promoted last Saturday. We beat Downings in a playoff and we were absolutely delighted now because we had a good league campaign and we battled away with Dunloe and Ballyshannon, you know, up near the top, and we landed in third place, which meant then that we were taking on Downings, and we played them out at the Bridge last Saturday and we had a very good first half, and we were 10 points up, and Look, we knew they were going to come back at us, which they did, but we managed to turn the tide again. We're kind of closed in on that, as you can see with the games now. Once a team gets a run at you, it's hard to break that spell, but we managed to get a turn and we came out with a 2-point victory. So delighted and looking forward now. Championship is coming up, but looking forward now as well to being in with the big boys in Division One after, as I say, 25 years, 2000 was the last time we were there. So looking forward to it.
Good stuff. Kudos there. Well, a brilliant management team there with you. It's yourself and Danny O'Donnell. So brilliant work there, and fair play to everybody at Naoi Mhoire. Have you a ticket for Sunday, Oney? Are you going up? It's asking someone have they a ticket, as I find on the Wednesday, Thursday, it's like asking someone how much have you in your bank account, or how much do you get paid. It's a very personal question. There's a lot of lies going on around the county,
Is.
every county.
Hi, Fanny. I'm just back from training, and I have my tickets, and I'm heading up Sunday morning. Yeah.
Good
Did you
stuff.
say you said tickets? Maybe a slip of the tongue, Alan. It's a real buzzword. High allocation was. Geez, it left a lot to be desired now for a competing county, but we don't know the ins and outs of how they're spread out in that. But to get 13, what else, 13,700 or something, I don't know. There's a lot of people disappointed in that. And look, I think it's very hard on the clubs as well, trying to juggle it. You know, the main officers and that are doing that, because there are people, you know, club people, maybe sponsors and that are going to be disappointed. There's just not enough to go around. And like I say, I thought the allocation was poor, but look, as I say, we don't know the ins and outs either.
Yeah, I really feel for club secretaries.
Yeah.
I honestly think nightmare of a job. And fair play to every single one of them. It's tough on the kids as well, isn't it? Because they'll be going back to school in September, and I think it's just the adult members. I'm not going to actually go down this road because I'm not certain of it, and I might say something wrong. But I know a lot of children have been left disappointed, and that's a tough one, like, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, I heard somebody saying that there was a lot of kids at the semi-final, because they're more or less told, you know, this is your final. If we get there, you're probably not going to get a ticket. And it is hard. Like I say, I don't know. And you mentioned it as well. It's tough on the clubs and the club officers. And it's great to see the kids there. Hey, that's the next one you want, pulling on the jersey, and you know, being in an All Ireland final day. You know, watching that, it would definitely inspire you. But there's a lot. There will be a lot missing out. There'll be a few that'll get to it, and as you say, some will be going back to school saying they were at it, and other ones will say they weren't at it. And you know, it's probably not fair, but that's what can you do, hey?
Thankless job, Alan. Been an admin this week, isn't it?
Yeah, it's tough. Like the allocation, 13,000 didn't seem low, but as Only says, I actually don't know the ins and outs of it either. And
No.
as you said, Paddy, people might be listening to this come Saturday or Sunday, and maybe a lot more will be known then. It's just the number looked quite small when you heard the hurling counties. I think they got 29,000 each. I suppose you can balance that. Went up to Croke Park last Sunday, and you could see a sea of red. Cork of 259 clubs, which is crazy. I knew they had a lot, but didn't realize it was that many. Donegal, I suppose, with the 40, whatever. There's kind of rumours going here and there. I suppose what's really the 2 week window is much tighter. I think in 2012 there was four, and 92 there was definitely four, maybe three in 2014. But everything seems very rushed in that. And you know, there's people booking accommodation and trying to work out travel. They don't even know if they've got a ticket yet, you know, that sort of way. And then I suppose they might get caught with the hotels because of the free cancellation windows might be shut. I found it a very much of a scramble, and have found it difficult even to get into the swing of things, I suppose, apart from looking at newspaper pages and articles. So kind of looking forward to the next couple of days, you know, to just have a think about the game and get a feeling for it. It does seem rushed, and maybe going forward, I don't know. I doubt what I say is going to make much of a difference. I think a 3 week lead into both the hurling and football finals would just be the perfect level for it, you know. But I know the calendar's quite cramped in that, and we can just see what happens now. So hopefully, like, there's still a lot. I just think there's a lot of tickets somewhere. You see them on Facebook all the time. Every club in the country seems to be advertising them for raffles. I'm not going to say the club, but we got an email today asking for a club in Leinster, would you advertise our draw? And I thought, like, I don't think that would go down well with the Donegal audience, so we politely declined. But Yeah, hopefully people do get sorted now in the next couple of days. There's always these stories about last minute success stories or whatever. So God knows, and I suppose all you can say is, keep up the fight and best of luck to everybody.
Yeah, I would echo that as well and keep up the fight. You see, I suppose when clubs start again, I'm not that knowledge, I'm not that knowledgeable on it. I suppose a lot of clubs mightn't give them out till Wednesday or Thursday, and then people last week were saying no tickets, but what's the word? Circuit, they're not circulating yet, basically. You might have
Yeah.
somebody in a club in Donegal and might be a member and they get a ticket, but then their cousin in Laois or their brother-in-law down in Tipperary or Cork, then they get one because you want to put the allocation of what 13-3 for each county. But I think on Sunday you'll probably still have 20 to 25,000 from each county, wouldn't you? Roughly, probably.
Yeah, you would think so. Like as only since they're the semi-finals down the years have always been nearly, the great day for the kids. I always think the kids bring great noise to games. Paddy was sent to you, I was out in Ireland, Germany, I think it was a World Cup qualifier 2012. It wasn't long after Donegal won the All-Ireland. Germany were 6-0 up and Ireland scored a consolation goal and there's a massive roar from the kids in the Aviva. And then there was a real excitable atmosphere at the semi-final there against Meath as well. Exact same even in 2012. I think it wasn't sold out, but it was a sea of yellow that day when Donegal played Cork. Hopefully that is. It's tough on kids. Yeah, I remember I was in this situation in '92 myself. I got lucky enough. I don't know if you did, lads, but I was one of the lucky kids. I actually got a ticket that day, and it's something I'll never forget for sure as well.
Yeah. Were you there in 92, weren't you?
No, I didn't get a ticket, Paddy.
Same.
That's the way it goes. Yeah.
Same. Me, I just don't think I was even in the frame for a ticket, to be honest.
Yeah, no,
I was only
same as
six or
that, hey.
seven. Yeah. My
Yeah.
debut wasn't until 93 in the replay against Armagh. That was my county debut, and it's been an unhealthy obsession since.
You come in with John Duffy and Jim McGuinness.
Yeah, I came in just at the wrong. I came in at the wrong year. Just give us a quick flavor, Alan. How busy though? I know we briefly touched on it. It must actually be hard to actually nearly enjoy the build up and trying to strike the balance between so busy. How much carnage is it for print outlets in Donegal and Kerry in the past week, week and a half?
Oh, it's busy because what happens in this situation is you get people who want to come to you with advertising because they want to wish the team well, advertising's a tough job for anybody, and it's a lot of thankless work. They're knocking on doors, they're cold calling. This is the total opposite. They're coming to you in floods, and they want their little message in. I got someone here in Letterkenny that asked me, could they get me something just to wish the team well, like, and I passed it on. At that stage, we couldn't even fit it in the papers in the north of the county. It was only for the Democrat in the south, really. They says we don't care. We just want it somewhere. Like it's probably of no value whatsoever to their business. But that was the sort of thing you see. But then that increases your pagination, how many pages you need, by a lot. So this week, we have six newspapers in our group. So there was three 32-page pullouts, which then evolved into a 56-page pullout as well by Thursday. So you need a lot of content to fill that. But there's no, if you had time, the extra week we're even saying in terms of advertising or editorial, you could do it. There's just so many stories. If you pick up the phone and speak to one person, it could be a fan, it could be a player, it could be a manager. Everybody has a story, we always think that at the best of times, but it's tough work turning it around fast. And in my wisdom, I decided to do a Where Are They Now of every Donegal All-Ireland winner, which took 61 players to track down in about 24 hours. The last port of call was in Adelaide with Thomas McKinley, who was part of the 2012 panel. So your life is a little bit easier nowadays. I suppose with Facebook and stuff, you can track people, a little bit easier than before, but there's a lot of kind of scrambling and stuff like that, and you have to plan stuff out in advance. We even, spoke about it before the semi-final. I hate doing things like that, but we had to have a plan basically that Monday morning to bring it forward. And this is not the end of it by any matter of means at all. That God knows from the minute the ball goes up in the air, really, on Sunday, even for everybody involved. I think last year some of the players said they didn't get home till the early hours of Saturday morning. Is that right? They ended up on the tour of the county and then the Late Late Show. That Saturday evening, I remember going to Sean McCool Park. There was a championship game. They played St Michael's, and on the Sunday, Kilcare played St Union's. They were straight into it. It was real. kind of a whistle stop. They got to the 40 clubs. I think, Paddy, you were presenting our draft. I'm sure only they're over your way. I think on the Wednesday night, was it?
Where? Yeah.
Wednesday,
Yeah.
yeah, Wednesday,
Yeah.
yeah.
It's manic, yeah. Absolutely manic, I think, for everybody involved, you know.
Yeah. It was a great week, and yeah, some memories, and hopefully we'll have something similar next week. Great stuff, Alan. Well, fair play to you. I think everyone would concur. Just the Democrats' coverage has always been, it's the best institution by, a distance in Donegal, and just the coverage that yous give is incredible, and yous have a news and sport, which is just of a fabulous sports team there. Really good. Only it's hard to believe Donegal are back in an All Ireland final. I don't mean hard to believe, because I did think we'd go really well this year without shouting it in the podcast. What I mean is, if you go back 2 years, it's a bit like when Jim came in first. We had the Cross Maglenn was mentioned 4,500 times. Newry has reared its head a lot over the past 2 weeks, but this is incredible, man, isn't it? Like, it's just savage
Yeah,
stuff.
as you say, it's like when Jim came in the first year, you know, he won Ulster, got to an All Ireland semi final, and won second year then won Ulster, and we're hoping for the same result this year now that we go on to win Sam. He went one step further than last year, and look, he's probably the best players in the county playing, which maybe unfortunately 2 3 years ago we didn't have that, you know, and he's got them to buy into it. And look, it's brilliant, you know. As I say, you know, the games that they've had, you know, that Ulster run was something else. That Ulster final that Saturday evening against Armagh, that was a serious victory in my eyes, because you know, Armagh equalised, you know, in the 78th minute. We gave the ball away, and you could see them going into the dressing room, and they had plenty to say to our players. You know, Armagh did, and you were saying this is going to be tough, and you know, Kieran Moore got the goal on that, and I thought that was a huge victory that Saturday evening, and probably that's why Tyrone beat us in the first round robin game, you know what I mean, and that. But we've come good since, and I know the draw has been kind to us. You know, if you were told you were going to play Louth, Monaghan and Meath, you know, you'd have grabbed the hand off that. But it's just the way we're playing, and it's just with Jim McGuinness there, you just feel on Sunday that, you know, we have a serious chance of winning the All Ireland on Sunday with Jim in charge. That's now been honest.
There's been a couple of key moments to get here, hasn't there, Alan? And Oni couldn't agree more. I thought we were going to get to an All Ireland. I'll be honest, back at Christmas, I sent me mate, and I'm listening, I'm normally wrong about things, but I did send my friend Pat down in Bray. I sent him the squad, and I says, geez, if you can get close to this for the business end, it's as good a squad as we've ever had. I will be honest, and I'm going to put the hand up. I thought at half time against Monaghan, I did think we were gone, because I fed into that 3 week in a row thing. I just thought we looked a little bit fatigued. The usual stuff started okay, and I won't lie, when we lost to Tyrone, and I thought losing to Tyrone, that meant you lost control of your own destiny, and you'd end up playing 3 weeks. So there's been a few shaky moments, but by God, Alan, they've come through them. Even only mentioned the Armagh game. Going into extra time, we looked out on our feet and dug deep. Then there was the Mayo game, which doesn't actually get mentioned a lot. I know we were never really in trouble against Mayo, but at the same time, that Moore score, massive. There's just been a few key, huge moments, Alan, getting to the stage.
Yeah, same as you, Paddy. After the night against Tyrone and Balbuffet, you know, we're kind of ones for the permutations, and the permutations didn't look good because it was verging on very difficult at that stage to win the group, because the same thing happened last year when Donegal lost to Cork, but you knew that you only needed one result to go in your way. It was Tyrone to beat Cork, which there was every chance of, and then it would come down to a shootout against Clare, basically. I always think the team that plays, you know, the so-called weaker team last has the advantage, you know, because at that stage, whatever chance Clare has is nearly gone. You know, they're probably thinking of holidays, and Donegal put up a huge score in Castlebar that day. But this year, I just couldn't see that group working out for us to win the group. Paddy, you and I spoke then, you were thinking, geez, you're going to hit Kerry, you're going to hit Dublin in the quarters, you know, if you're lucky, you know, when you're going to have a preliminary before that, and then you have teams like Galway lurking around there as well. So, like, the path has actually worked out, you know, as good as you could have got. People said Donegal have, slightly easier passage, but I think they've played so many high intensity games this year, they're going to stand to them. And the thing about that night against Tyrone too, they looked a tired team after the Ulster final. Those players at the end of the Ulster final, four or five players, Pattern Mogan, Ryan McHugh, Oisin Gallen, Michael Murphy, were seizing up. And you thought, this is really starting to work against us. But since that, we're saying after the semi-final, really, everybody is fit. Whether, I'm not sure if, say, Jason McGee or Keenan McGonigal, for example, have 70 minutes in them, but they've certainly enough in them to contribute and contribute quite a huge part. And, the panel has looked good. We said the differences was between the defeat to Galway last year and this year is those options off the bench now, where you have, at least five, six, seven players. Like you had the five lads who came on the last day. Niall O'Donnell didn't even get a run. He had a good game in the Ulster final, especially when he came on. Even players like Stephen McMenamin and them have come in and done very well, you see. So, there's options there, and I think we're in as good a position as we could have hoped to be, having lost two to our own.
It's funny you say that at the outset there when you were starting to make that point. When we lost the Tyrone, me and you love an old combination and a permutation, and we love discussing these things and mapping out the year. At that stage, Kerry hadn't lost to Meath either, and it did look like we were going to be going into, if we won
Oh,
the preliminary,
that was a
going
result
into,
of that
yeah,
was a result that changed the whole
the whole
landscape
dynamic,
of the championship, I think. Yeah.
100, because it would have been. We had a 66% chance of getting possibly, say, Dublin, Kerry, and then Monaghan would have been the other team. And we were thinking, geez, maybe we could rattle Monaghan. But then Meath beat Kerry, and it just, as you said, it just, the optics completely changed. No, good stuff there. Only just on the team, like, people ask me about team news and that. Nobody gets team news. You'll get text messages and WhatsApp rumors and all that, but if you forward on, you look very silly, because most of them are wrong anyway when it comes to team news. And we're not in training, we're not in convoy. I always say, people say to me, "Why is Darragh Will not starting? Why is so and so not starting?" I'm like, "Well, to be honest with you, Jim definitely knows more than I do on this." But listen, it's good to have a debate on it. Keelan McGonigal is back, whether he's 70 or not. Do you think Cathal O'Kane was on during the week? He thinks he's going to start. I don't know myself. I don't know. I think he'll go with the same team, but do you think he'll start? And if he does, my thing is, who are you bringing out?
Yeah, that's a tricky one, all right. He could, I think he could possibly start Keenan McGonigal, because I think, I think I would be a wee bit worried of Donegal's height in the back line.
He's
Take
an
Brendan McCullum.
option for kickouts as well in the
He's an
opposition,
option for
for
kickouts,
opposition, and
and
you might be able to leave Murphy further in then. Yeah.
yeah, if Clifford takes Brendan McCullum away, if Kerry start Paul Geaney in there, he'd done the same to us in 2014. Paddy McGrath was on him, and they launched a few high balls on him. If Kerry land him on top of Finbar Rorty or maybe Pather Morgan or them players, they would have a wee bit of a height advantage. So that's why I'm thinking that he might start him. But in other ways then, and I always thought Mayo slipped up. When they were going toe to toe to Dublin, that come the 68th minute, Aidan O'Shea was sitting on the bench, Colin Boyle was on the bench, Shamie O'Shea was on the bench, Keith Higgins was on the bench, when I felt that they really needed them going into the last 10, 15 minutes. And I think if we start Keelan McGonigal, I don't think he will start Jason McGee, but I think you would like to finish with your so-called, we'll say, best team. And that's why he might hold on to him as well. But it's 50-50, like I say. There could be a wee bit of worry there about Donegal's height and the back line, and I think Kerry could go after that. But it's then who do you want on the pitch when it's getting really tight in the last 5, 10 minutes? You'd like to see Keelan McGonigal on the pitch. You'd probably see Jason McGee on the pitch, Michael Murphy on the pitch. You want them players there, you know what I mean? So it's like I say, it depends what he wants, Paddy. You know what I mean? If he wants a bit of cover for his defenders at the start to maybe combat that high ball in, he probably will start him.
He is, it's a good complaint. It's a tough one for Jim, isn't it? But listen, sentiment does have to go out the window. You mentioned there was one of those finals, and I'm open to correction, Dublin They actually won it every time because of their bench. Costello, I think, came on. Brogan came on and won. Now Brogan's come to the end. Michael Darragh McCauley came on for the last 25 minutes. Mayo didn't really have that. But it's a tough one for Jim. Like, you look at Daryl Boyle. Daryl Boyle would probably start for 30 other counties at the moment. 29, 30 counties. So would Paddy McBrearty. So would Niall O'Donnell. Like, so would Jason McGee, Caoimhe McGonigal. It's a brilliant, brilliant problem to have. But Jesus, it's a tough one.
It is a tough one, but you have to buy into that, Paddy. You might not like it as a player, but when
Especially
you're
not in
running
a
matches.
final because of the pageantry and the parade and the anthem and meeting the president. It's probably a bit different, yeah.
It might be a bit different in that eye, but I think lads and Jim will be telling them, that's the way it is, and it's not just the 1920, that he's been using. He could be saying that anybody could come on. And when you get the call around about the 35, 40-minute mark, you're expected to go in and do well. And they have been doing well, which shows you that, they're happy. They might not be happy, but you understand what I mean. The camp is good, and you're being told you're going in there now to get us over the line, them five, six players. And the players that you mentioned there are all contributing. And like you said, Niall O'Donnell, let's be honest, Niall O'Donnell won us the Ulster final against Armagh, and he didn't get off the bench. Jamie Brennan is another fella who's kind of gone down the pecking order, and you would think with the speed in that he would be suited to Croke Park. But as you said before, we're not in Convoy, and Darragh Boyle's coming on doing really well. Paddy McBrearty's doing really well. Jason McGee is contributing. There's different lads, and like I say, it's a great position to be in. But look, they're buying into it because you have to buy into it, and you're not going to win any more with 15 players. Everybody knows that. It's going to 19, 20 players, and that's the big thing. That's probably the tick in the box for us, is that we do feel we have 20, 21 players now that can contribute on Sunday, and that's why we're fairly confident going up the road.
Just see, we're recording here. You're listening to the podcast either Friday or Saturday, maybe early Sunday morning. And we're recording here very, very late Thursday night. And I just see the Kerry team has been named. So I'll just fly through it. Shane Ryan and Golds, fullback line, Paul Murphy, Jason Foley, Dylan Casey, Breano Beaglia, Mike Breen and Gavin White make up the halfback line. Alarna Parker, Sean O'Brien and Mark O'Shea, half forward line, Joe O'Connor, Sean O'Shea and Graham O'Sullivan. I think he's piercing the Andromeda as well. Dylan Guinea, Paddy Clifford, and David Clifford. So, yeah, it's a good side. I think what annoys me only a wee bit is when I know David Clifford's generational and possibly the best ever. And we know about Paddy. I think Paddy's an unbelievable player, and Sean O'Shea. People think they're just a certain thing. I think people need to watch Kerry more. Some people are telling me, well, Donegal get over the line, their intensity, their hunger, they'll fight for every ball. And I honestly am pulling my hair out at these comments. A cousin of mine texted me earlier and was like, ah, yeah, well, they'll not match our intensity. And I'm actually going, oh, like Rory Grogan was on during the week on a podcast and says people have no idea the intensity that Kerry play at. If people think that Donegal are just going to win this game, Donegal are not going to win this game because they're hungrier or they're more intense today. Both teams, did anybody see the blocks against Armagh, the blocks against Tyrone? They are ravenous dogs as well. Jesus, they are much more than just flair players. Like,
Definitely. And look, you have to remember, since 2014, Kerry have only got one All-Ireland since in 2022. David Clifford is probably 26 years of age, and he's sitting on one All-Ireland. And he's, there's a lot of Kerry players down there that have five, six, seven All-Irelands. You can see the way he's playing that he's really thriving it on in that. But they're going to match us with that. The team you named out there, like Gavin White, Breano Beaglia, Mike Breen, Graham O'Sullivan, around the middle of the field, the Shawnee O'Shea's and these fellas, they're going to be as ravenous as we are on that. And like you said, that's not just our game. You have to have that now. That's a must for every team. And then it's whoever plays the best then.
what's the feeling, Alan? To be honest, I know the bookies have it impossible to separate. It's a funny one listening to podcasts. It's 50-50 overall, I'd say, nicely. Obviously, people in Donegal fancy Donegal. I have to say, I was up in Donegal for a couple of days each week last week and this week. Obviously, everyone's Donegal. Chatting to a lot of GAA people here in the Midlands, coaches. There's definitely more of a lean towards Kerry, I'll be honest. They are. There's more leaning towards Kerry, I think. I think it's. Would you agree, Alan, if we were to take off our Donegal hats, it's impossible to call. And like you follow so many sports as well. Finals are funny. They're funny beasts, aren't they? Like, this could be a draw. This could go to extra time. It could be a draw after extra time. Would you be surprised if something strange happened? One of the teams wouldn't be 8 or 9 points either. Like anything could happen here.
Anything could happen, and I don't even, I can't go to extra time though, can I, this week?
Sorry, it can, yeah, and then it would be a
Yeah,
replay.
sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, pardon me. But I remember in 2014, you know, when Donegal had probably produced, you know, the ultimate Jim McGuinness performance to beat Dublin. And I remember just being, I remember doing a thing with Bratis O'Donnell, and I remember just kept saying cautious optimism, and I think the feeling is still the same. Because, like, I suppose even before the six in a row, which changed kind of the football landscape, any team that had beaten Kerry in an All-Ireland final in, I don't know, about 50 years, pretty much before that, maybe you come back to the mid-70s and awfully, I think, but they had to do something extraordinary, really. Like you had your Seamus Darnby moments. You had, you know, Armagh in 2002 had to put in an absolutely incredible performance to come from behind after a missed penalty. Yeah, the Tyrone years, you know, 05 was good, 08 was even better. Like an absolute amazing level of football that Tyrone went to beat Kerry that time. And even when Dublin were at their absolute pomp, you know, some of them games were very close. Like I remember the 2013 semi-final, there was a final replay, wasn't there?
19 replay, yep. 19 replay,
Yeah,
yep.
and like the 13 semi-final, I think, was a classic game. You know, Kerry were, it was Kevin McManaman, I think, got a goal when he broke through late on. You thought he was going to go for a point, but like really, like as I said, amazing things to beat this Kerry team. And I think, you know, you'll have to do what you do to your absolute best to even have a chance winning this game. And that is the way I did feel in 2014 as well. I can
Their
also
threshold, Alan, their threshold is what we're saying is never actually drops that low. Even when people, because sometimes in Kerry, they're compared to unnatural, phenomenal Kerry teams, but there's
compared to
never
themselves,
really that many terrible Kerry teams.
not really. And as you said, that they're compared to themselves. And I always think if there's, I wouldn't call it an easy All Ireland, but it's teams that don't win it that often and we're in that bracket have to produce an absolutely incredible level throughout a season or towards the end of a season. Where Kerry and Dublin are the only two sides who can come in and just pick up an All Ireland and still go home and be told, well, you're not as good as these lads or these lads. Do you know what I mean? And you see this in kind of things like golf competitions and stuff like that as well. Like, so as I said, I can understand why people think Kerry are favourites, and I suppose a lot of maybe casual type fans may have only really, you know, started really watching from, you know, the quarterfinals on, where, you know, Kerry put in two massive performances to beat Armagh and Tyrone, especially the fact they were written off so much before the Armagh game, especially. To show that they're right back in this. But as you said, like even your chat about that Paul Geaney goal, like I see like he's named on the bench there at the minute, just this is just when the team has come out. They have to actually drop two players off that panel, Paddy. They have a 28-man panel named there at the minute. So Jermaine O'Connor is actually back in it as well. But
I think Paddy and David should leave the panel.
but you know, you're thinking then like what are you, like there's so much chat about Brendan McCall. You know, picking up Clifford, which is probably a cert, it's fair to say, but people say Donegal don't have a secondary man-to-man marker. Like Keenan McColgan has actually played that role probably more than most. But then if you have Keenan McGonigal coming in, like I think I was listening to Cahir and Morrison and yourself, Paddy. I think no matter who Keenan McGonigal comes in for, it's going to be a massive call. You know, I don't know if it's going to be Eoin Ban Gaeler. I don't know Keenan McColgan. I have no idea really, but it's going to be an absolutely massive call. But you know, Keelan McCaughan has been trusted with some big roles, you know, in this. He's fought, forced his way back into the team. He didn't make the panel for the Ulster final. Then he was marking Aidan O'Shea in Roscommon. So I actually think he will go with McGonagall. I just think if someone's not, hasn't really shown how fit he is, maybe he, you know, there could be a lot going on behind closed doors with Keelan McGonagall. But I think, you know, if he goes on and gives it a half or whatever, And that's what all he can give. I think, everyone will be delighted with that. I just always think if a player's coming back from injury and you decide to take him on at half time instead, what if he only lasts 20, 25 minutes? You kind of get you hit with a double whammy and need for another sub, and maybe that disrupts your plans or has a knock-on effect on your other subs. So, yeah, like I can understand my carrier style favourites. I'm actually edging towards Donegal a bit, which I didn't do in 2014. I think it was probably because of this podcast, The Last Eight Cahir. I think, got me around his way of thinking quite a bit, what you can do. But as you said, there's absolutely nothing in it. I don't know about this. Well, football nowadays, you said there about a 7 or 8 point victory. Like it's entirely possible the way the game has gone.
And it could actually be a close game, and one of the teams won't be it.
Yeah, that's the way football is. It's gone a little like hurling in that respect. And with the 7 points against Monaghan, only got that eradicated within minutes in the quarter final. So, no, I don't know. I think, as I said, Donegal have to do what they do to their best and possibly a little bit more. But I do think they're capable of doing that.
I would take, now it depends if there's a breeze, and it depends how the first half goes. So if you kick 12 wides in the first half and they kick two wides, obviously you wouldn't be happy being level with 20 minutes to go. But pretend both teams are four wides each, just being silly here, and there's no breeze. I would take it being level in the 50th minute. I actually would. I would love if we started well first 15, 20. Would you go along with that, only? Like, no breeze. Similar enough first half. Would you take being leveled half time only? Say even 10 minutes
Oh, I
into the
would.
second
Yeah,
half.
I would take level the way we with the way we've been going, in the second half of games. Yeah, I would take being level, definitely. Yeah, I think
Yeah.
they'd be happy with that. Look, it's nobody knows. Like, so, can a goal can go on. You just don't know. But I think, I thought we were looking probably a bit dodgy on the Monaghan game at half time, but the game was over then in 55 minutes, with 15 to go. We had Monaghan were just gone. The way they had to play against us to keep up with us, and I'd be happy. I think we would have it in the legs. I think the way they're going in that, there's definitely a big game in them, and I think that's the one thing that probably Kerry might be worried about. Kerry do have the experience in that. Like go through that team that you've named there again. The likes of Paul Murphy and them, they're around a long time. Tom O'Sullivan is probably on the bench there. Gavin White is there, and all that. They're around a while in that, and we probably lack a wee bit of experience, which whoever wins the game then it'll be a case of Kerry's experience showed through, or else our youth, the likes of Finn Barrett, Rorty, Kieran Moore, Shane O'Donnell, Conor O'Donnell, and all these fellas show up for us in that. So it's always a case of whoever wins writes the script, as they say in that. So, as I say, I would take being level anyway at half time, as I say, the way the games have been going in the second half for us.
Well, we're on here about starting teams, and if Donegal win the game, it doesn't matter if Alan Foley, Ony McGarvey, and Paddy McGill were picked in the full back line, because I'll tell you one thing we've all learned down the years: sport is absolutely ruthless, and the narrative in every single victory just all comes down to if you win the game or lose the game.
Whoever wins.
You could lose by a point, and you hit the post in the last minute, and it comes off the crossbar, and the ball bounces out of play, and you've done everything right, then the team selection will be wrong. Those issues off the field. Ah, those issues here, those issues there. You're hearing it from Cork now. It's unreal. Even I remember the Kilkenny team for one in All Ireland, so it was never a word of it. And that in 1 year, when Tipperary stopped the drive for five, the amount of stuff that came out after that game wasn't right in the camp. Things weren't right. It doesn't matter. Like, the first thing I do, we go to a pub in another town, straight to the GA pictures, and you see county champions 35, 53, 81, 2005. I'll tell you one thing. It doesn't matter. Their picture's up there. They won the game. Nothing else matters on Sunday to Donegal or Kerry apart from winning the game. And if you win the game by a point, for the next 100 years, there will not be one thing said about team selection. That's just what it boils down to, isn't it,
That
Ronnie?
is for sure, Paddy. You have nailed it. You
Isn't
have nailed it.
it, Alan?
That's the bottom line. Yeah, as you said, get your turn that wall, and people might, you might think that whatever way you got in that wall, you'll be kind of famed like that forever. That doesn't happen. Like, you'll hear people asking, like we would say here with, in Blake's Bar, there's a lot of some, who did they play that? You're in the final, and this might only be 10 or 15 years ago, so, oh yeah, that's right, that's right.
100%. Every decision will be wrong if you lose the game. Like, it's just the victor goes to the spoils. It's even like, when you hear a win in dressing rooms and you hear of great speeches at half time, I'm sure James Horan gives some of the greatest speeches of all time when Mayo were losing finals, but we'll never hear them. They lost the game by Jesus, the margins only are frighteningly thin sometimes, aren't they?
Frightfully, like for them Mayo teams and that, like when you think of it, how hard was it to lose them finals and to keep coming back, year in, year out and that, and just to know that they were so close, but to come up against a Dublin team that were just that wee bit better than that. But it was a credit to them to and fairness, and as you say, it does not matter one bit who what you do on Sunday. I even hear today that for the Cork hurlers and that they were, what was I told? That there was a fight at half time in the dressing room. And I said, how come there was a fight at half time in the dressing room? There were 6 points up, but just they scored a goal before half time with them 6 points up. I said they were flying, they were the favourites, so why would they be fighting at half time? But this is the stuff that comes out in that. And
That's
like you
great.
say, whoever wins, hopefully those Shea brothers will be getting stuck into Jack O'Connor on Monday morning. That means Sam's coming to the house for us.
I'll tell you one man who I reckon got stuck into Jack O'Connor once upon a time. I do my work before my research before a podcast, don't I? True or
This
false?
has nothing to do with the podcast, but you've been doing this for years. I need to find somewhere to
Who are
put it
you talk? Who are you talking to,
on.
Paddy?
Oh,
Who are
now,
you talking to?
1994, Piercy Madrumada took on Niamh Wada in the Comórtas Pill na Gaeltachta. My sources tell me a young Ónaí McGarvey played against an old Jack O'Connor. Is there any truth to this?
Yeah, there is a bit of truth in that. Yeah, he chats about it in his book. They came up to the Gaeltacht final. It was actually held in Gweedore that year, 1994, and we got to the final. And when he we didn't know this at the time, he wrote the book maybe 15 years later, and he said in the book that they had took a few players over from England to make up the team for them. They came from England to Donegal for that weekend, so they had probably illegal players when they beat us in the final. But and a funny thing about it as well, Paddy, they had a priest playing for them, and he went down injured for about three or 4 minutes, and you can imagine the mouthfuls he was getting from the Ní Mhaire players. And do you know who ref that final? Father Sean.
Ah, you're joking me.
Father Sean ref that final. And the Pearson you drum with you, player that was the priest, he got a mouthful or two, and let's just say it was a wee while before Father Sean came over the Crawley Bridge to Addigra, but all's good now again.
Geez, that's absolutely brilliant,
Do
eh?
you know what I was thinking as well? I wonder, was that where Jack O'Connor's hatred for Ulster teams? I wonder did it start that weekend in Gweedore, because
Oh,
he cannot hide it.
you sowed the seeds.
We saw the Z day. The poor fella, he can't hide it. And he's going now on Sunday, beating Cavan, beating Tyrone, beating Armagh, and beating Donegal. He would love that. And like I say, the man, he just cannot hide it. He even said in his book and that. So hopefully that won't happen in that. But maybe that all happened that famous June bank holiday weekend in Gweedore in 94.
Ah, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. Jeez, there, you couldn't be up to them, could you, down there? Bringing home illegal players. I picked up the Kerryman on the way to the match in Killarney in the league game. I don't know, was that February or March? Now I forget. It was around three or four, but it was put back. And yeah, Jack O'Connor had some interesting words about, he was little digs about, oh, Donegal are more dumb than everyone else and that. And it didn't really get out in the Nationals because it was in the local paper. And I was thinking, I was reading it in Limerick going, I picked it up just on the border, Abbeyfield there. I was
He said that in Derry actually the week before. They played Derry in that league game. Do you remember all the goals?
Later on.
Yeah. And like we have a sister paper in there, and we said, can you ask a question about Donegal for us, because the rearranged game was going to be the week after. And yeah, he knew what he was doing. Yeah, he kind of aimed that. So yeah, it was definitely a little bit of it. I was just saying at the start that only when you're chasing the content and stuff, and you can find things if you dig hard enough. So I'm sure you're right. I didn't think we'd be chatting about the 1994 Concordia here when we come on Thanks
Oh,
Podcast.
Paddy's a mighty man, as you say. If you keep digging, you'll find something in that. But yeah, we got a mention in his book as well. I think he had the local team. He calls. He didn't have all his things, but that's when he let the cat out of the bag, that they had a few ringers or so for that game as well. But he was just chatting about his club and that piercing the Drumadge, and that Drummond Pierce is there. I think Graham O'Sullivan was from them. Declan O'Sullivan was from that club as well. But it was a brilliant weekend, he says, and it started off well for them. Then did a big, I think he was after opening a pub down at home with that, and that made him for the first couple of weeks anyway, he said, when they landed back home.
A good way to start the ball rolling.
Yeah, he didn't play much. He didn't play much county. Of he was in the South Kerry team, I think, as well. He played a bit, but he went into coaching fairly early on. Well, it's funny. I was talking to Maurice Brosnan, and I was talking to Michael Clifford, and they said this would be Jack O'Connor's crown and glory. This would be
Yeah.
his. So, for anyone out there to think that Donegal are going to bring an intensity and a hunger, I'll tell you, you don't know Kerry football. They will. This would be one of their greatest ever All Irelands. And it would be
Oh,
Jack
yeah.
O'Connor's greatest. And that's why if Donegal win as well, Jesus, we'll be living with this one for a long time too.
Yeah.
There's so many storylines, isn't there, lads? Like you've Jim McGuinness, you've Jack O'Connor, you have Michael Murphy, you've David Clifford, Alan. There's so many subplots, isn't there?
Oh, there's no end of them, Paddy, to be honest. Like, as I said, like you've just skimmed the surface there with what you've said. I just think there's so much to it. Subplots here and there's stories we're never going to hear. Like, I actually watched the 1992 All-Ireland final in its entirety last night. I've never seen it before since the day at the game. And the game was exactly as how I remembered it, and I've written about it a lot since. But you just remember little things then from afterwards, just little bits and bobs, little kind of anecdotes and stuff. There's just a million different things. And I suppose when there's so many people that are following this, it gives them such a lift. You don't have to go into the wider world, but it's a bit of a crazy place at the minute. But I think it's great, for especially the fact that we've kind of lived through this before. But we thought it was over, and Kerry was what looked like the final chapter in 2014. Really, it only preceded the last act was Jim and Daniel O'Donnell on stage on the Monday night in the rain. Just really, it was like a wake, I suppose that's all you could say. Donegal had kind of flirted with success in the decade in between, really, but we all kind of still spoke about the days, those 4 years, and the trips to Dublin and Clonmacs and everything. For the bulk of that decade, you probably thought, get over it, get on with your life, sort of thing here. But to have it back, and just as only said, like even some of the footprints, the same steps again. The game itself is a much better product. Donegal have moved with that, and they're one of the reasons, this year they've lit up the championship as of Kerry. So I just think it's brilliant for the younger generation who used to have to sit at home and watch YouTube and Jimmy's winning matches, and their mum and dad probably tell them that we had a great team a few years ago, while we were kind of struggling. And I suppose I think the nature of Donegal football, I actually done a piece last year with Donegal's All Ireland quarter finals. I think it's the perfect round to show the schizophrenia of the Donegal team's existence for years, where some of your most unbelievable games came there, and some of your biggest hidings, some of the biggest circus stories. Some of the bravest performances. It's just so Jekyll and Hyde. And I just remember thinking, like, this is the ultimate roller coaster when you plot it out and think back. And now we're just, on a high with this roller coaster. And, it's just brilliant. The whole place is lifted. And I always think Donegal football, the whole thing nearly has to hit rock bottom to get that bounce. And, we weren't We were on this podcast, all of us, 2 years ago, and we didn't chat about football an awful lot of the time with everything that was going on. We'll never forget, as you said now, Paddy Newry, 23, is like CrossFit Lane 2010. But now it's lit up. Everybody's chatting about it. There's people that I actually didn't even know watch football that they're having opinions, whether it should be this, that, the other. I just think it's brilliant, yeah.
Yeah, that's really well put there. It's that good. There's nothing really to add to it. I couldn't agree more. And yeah, you're looking at a 19-year gap between 92 and, winning Ulster in 2011, winning the All-Ireland in 2012. And now, since winning it, 13 years, what, 11 years since the final. And that's kind of what Jim touched at, only we probably shouldn't be. People talk about the hype. Wouldn't it be great if we were just a county? And that's what I think what Jim is trying to
Yeah.
create for the next 10 or 12 years is that we're not always, even Anthony Molloy said to me before, 92 was the best day of his life. But he's like, Jesus, but we didn't win more of them. So we're not just talking about 92, but that's not taking away from how good 92 was or 2012. Wouldn't it be a county? You would even take final defeats a wee bit easier if you were getting there on a more regular basis, because if the county's
Doing
going well,
that ferryman impression again, Paddy.
not. I was
Doing the
told.
ferryman impression
I
again.
was told, no, but I won't do the Kerry accent this time. But
It was pretty good,
he was like, if you dine at the top table, you lose all Ireland's. He was like, only, but you'll win them as well. Meaning,
yeah.
go and get the more finals. Like, Galway have lost about, Galway have lost about a million finals, but at least they get to them regularly. And the club game then will improve as well. And even if we win or lose on Sunday, hopefully it's not 13 years before or 11 years before we're in a final again.
Yeah, no, I was just gonna say that when Ireland, unfortunately, we do tend to have to hit the rock bottom before we shake ourselves again. But I'd be hoping, the work that's going on in the academy and that, and with the age profile of that team that we have now, and the under-20s getting to the Ulster final this year, we're unlucky to lose it. Hopefully next year we'll be in the mix as well. I just hope that what we're trying to build at the academy and what we have at senior level, that we won't be going to rock bottom, and that we will have success. And like I say, when you're getting the quarter finals, semi finals, and finals, you will lose a few, but you'll definitely be winning them. And it's not boom or bust, you know what I mean? It's nearly every year that we're going to get to a quarter final. We have a good team, and that you're looking at somebody coming in then and. Some player, and you're saying he could make a difference for us, and you're watching that player maybe at club level the year before, and you say he should be in next year, and if we have him, it could get us another step, next year, and that, and that's I get the feeling that's what they're trying to get to as well, that that we are competitive, at quarters, semi-final, final stages, and we'll win some, we'll lose some, hopefully we'll win on Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, we'll come to an end here. Just we're all going to the game, and I know we all go to games. But just even talking to some people at home, neighbours, no interest in football, and they're all heading to the local pub on Sunday to watch it. There'll be some buzz. There's screens up nearly every second town in Donegal. I know again we're going to the game, have to go over that, but there'll be some crack in Donegal on Sunday too, wouldn't there, Alan?
What was it? Ray Houghton said that he, or Conhuilan, maybe the journalist, that he missed the 1990 World Cup because he went to Italy. Just the crack in that at home as well. And even we went to the Euros in France and Poland. But at least in France, every team competed a bit. But you spend most of your afternoon lying on your phone watching videos from things that were happening at home, like I suppose that wasn't afforded to people years ago. Yeah, as like Mary Coffin said in your podcast, Paddy, from Convoy, there's not everybody's going to be lucky enough to be inside Croke Park, but everyone, hope you enjoy your day. There's, I was chatting to Conor Breslin, he used to be on your show, like he's in Sydney at the minute. They've arranged to meet up at, I don't know what, 10, 2 a.m. I think it is. They're going to watch the game at 2 a.m. on a Monday morning in Sydney, Scruffy Murphy's. There's people everywhere doing the same. There'll be jerseys in Thailand, there'll be jerseys in Brazil, there'll be jerseys everywhere. So yeah, just this team has given people a reason to wear those jerseys and be proud again. So it would be unbelievable to just get over the line. They've achieved so much so far, but I suppose having experienced the 2012 and 14 juxtaposition so close, The team has given us so much pride, but like the difference between winning and losing, just like can you imagine Donegal Town on Monday night? If the lads do get over, it would just be unbelievable, yeah.
Yeah, so well put. I know I say this every show. I always think of the diaspora because we've such a huge one being from Donegal. I honestly, I'm going to count them tomorrow. But 18 countries, I've got messages from where people are watching the match, and it's just like you could be somewhere in the Midwestern states, like Ohio, and there will be Donegal people stuck somewhere watching it. And I always say, Alan, we've always said too, and this is the last point, you might have no interest in GAA. No interest in anything at all, but Sunday will be so special because just because you're into GAA doesn't make you more Donegal than somebody that isn't. Nobody is more Donegal than any of us.
Absolutely, yeah, we all say that, you know, and people use the term bandwagon, which I think is quite unfair because
Same.
they're everybody's Donegal is me or your Oney or whatever, and you know, circumstances dictate sometimes whether you can go to these sort of games, you know, it's not cheap anymore. There's a lot of games, there's a lot of travel. So no, there's a reason for people to be proud of this team, I think. And you know, the thing I noticed even like as early as 2011. That you know, Jim had told them that it's a play. It's a you know that you're wearing this jersey as an ambassador, basically, and like you're the best possible captain, of Michael Murphy at the time leading that, and you know you're representatives of the county, so you can see that humbleness has stayed with them, and I suppose the culture has probably changed. You're chatting about you know they want to be a bit more like Kerry. Jim McGuinness before the 2012 All Ireland quarterfinal spoke about Kerry and the synergy. Success breeding success, and as only says, I think Donegal are getting there now. You know, through the ranks, you know, it's getting more of a strong foundation. You have current players now chatting about how they're inspired by 2012, the same way you had Colin McFadden chatting about how he's inspired the day Tommy Ryan came into Crease the National School in October '93. You know, a couple of weeks, a few weeks after they won the All Ireland. So, you know, it's getting there, and as I said, it's a source of immense pride and. It's just all now down to Sunday, I suppose. I'm just nearly, I don't know what to say anymore about it. We can just, all we can do is just hope everything is right. But the one thing I think with the current management, and I'll leave it at this, is you know they will be prepared as much as they possibly can to the best of what they can be on the day. And if that is enough to beat a Kerry team, that would be unbelievable.
I know it's first world problems, well put there, Alan. There's first world problems. I haven't slept in about 10 nights thinking of this game only. And yeah, it's just been on the brain. I've even been talking to people here and I'm in conversation with them. And honestly, I'm just like, I'm not able to engage with you because they're talking about something completely different. I'm just, all I'm thinking, there is the All-Ireland final. I'm waking up one day, I think we're going to win by six. And then I'm waking up the next day and I'm thinking, Jesus, what if Kerry are 2-4, 2 point up after a minute? And then I'm with that for about 3 hours. And then next, literally 4 hours later, do you know what? We're going to win it. We're going to win it. But that's where we're coming to. Just before I do get your final predictions, I do want to say just, I've been doing this podcast now 6, 7 years ago and started as a podcast. I just really want to watch the players, the management team, and everybody that's involved with that Donegal camp. It's an honor and a privilege to watch this, and that is just the truth. Like, it really is an honor and a privilege. These are fantastic ambassadors, role models. These are representative of the county, and you represent the county, and everyone is so proud of you. And I just hope to God you have the cut back on Monday night. Our next podcast will be the Sunday night. It'll be released either way. You go look for it yourself if Donegal lose, because I'm putting the phone off for about a week, to be honest. It will be online, but I'm not sharing it because I'm going to get loads of abuse, and I'm a petulant child at times. Oney McGarvey, final word. I'm going to do it. And what would it mean to you if we did?
I think it would be great. I think it would be just what Alan was saying there as well about the, you know, the different things about the Donegal team. And I was just thinking about the homecoming there. You know, Donegal Town. You know, at the end of July. You know, it's not like the end of September when you were one of the All Irelands before that. And I just get the feeling from talking to people who are probably not going to get tickets, and all that's out of them is if they won, I'm going to Donegal Town on Monday night. And I just think, you know, if the evening was good, I think there would be a huge crowd. I think it would be a memorable night in Donegal Town. And I think just, well, I'll finish up on this, Paddy. I honestly do think that we will be going back down the road to Donegal Town on Monday night with Sam Maguire. I just feel that the journey that that team is on, you mentioned them there, the team and the management of that, I just feel the journey that they're on is going to end up with Paddy McGrath lifting the cup on Sunday evening. And I just it'll be absolutely brilliant, to be honest. And I'm so looking forward to the game. I'm like a child waiting for Santa for Christmas. I just can't wait till Sunday.
Yeah, it's been a long 2 weeks, even though we probably need an extra week, but I don't know how we do it. Thanks, Oni. Will we do it, Al?
I'm about 51% positive on the thing, and like 51% for me isn't bad. It's not of cautious optimism, always do with Kerry, except in 2014. I'm actually more optimistic this year than I was in 2014, that's the truth. So I would love to say they would, yeah. So not very good at heading the block there, but it really is a matter of fingers crossed it's going to be that close.
I think it will. And just finally, just before we go again, I said it at the outset, at the intro, I just really want to thank all our loyal listeners. The podcast wouldn't happen only for the numbers are so good. So safe travels. Again, if you're on an aeroplane, I hope you land down in Dublin and get down the M1 and you really enjoy the match. If you're only home for a few days, if you're commuting from anywhere in the country, whether it's Cork, Kerry, Waterford, and obviously you, the biggest bulk coming from Donegal itself, I wish you well. And if you're at home and you can't get a ticket, keep hunting. And I hope you're lucky. And if not, hopefully the team will have the cup back for you on the Monday night. Oni McGarvey and Alan Foley, thanks so much for joining me here in the podcast. And good luck, Donegal. Live commentary on Sunday from O Park. We'll be starting the show at 2 o'clock. It's going to be a long build-up. And as I said, podcast will be out sometime late on Sunday. Hopefully it's a happy one. Thanks to our sponsors, Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Nolahi Road, Donegal Town, and the main man back at base, Austin O'Callaghan. Bye for now, stay safe, and we will talk to you on Sunday.